Dan back here at the Genesis Communication Network, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story. Hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at, illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that's going to determine what the future will bring. I have to remind you the views I've expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They're my views, the views of our guest. And today our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. And we're going to be talking about water fluoridation. Now, to many of you out there, this doesn't seem like a very significant issue after all. Anybody who, believes that water fluoridation is harmful probably believes there's a communist under every bread, and he believes that, there's a conspiracy out there, and anybody who dares to tell you the truth about the fact that they're poisoning you and your children is going to be attacked because there has been an organized effort, in my estimation, to poison the American people. Now, some people will say it's because of the companies, the fertilizer companies, that they want to make money. And I'm sure that that is an element. And some people will say, after all, aren't we helping the teeth of children? And isn't it worthwhile to try to have our children have better teeth? The trouble is, if you look in New York and San Francisco, they've been fluoridated for a long time. There's so much dental decay in the poor children because it has nothing to do with fluoride in the water. If it did, there wouldn't be any dentists working there. It has to do with dental hygiene, and dental hygiene makes all the difference. And if you brush your teeth and take care of your teeth, why, they'll do well. As somebody once said, if you're not true to your teeth, then your teeth will be false to you. If you're not true to your teeth, they'll be false to you. Well, let's get back to Dr. David Kennedy, because he's been on the front lines of this battle for a long time. He has a great new DVD, which I hope he sent to me. It's called Let the Truth Be Known, and we have another one that he's put out called Drinking Water, How Safe is the Drinking Water. So we have two DVDs that Dr. Kennedy has done, but Let the Truth Be Known, or Let the Truth Be Told, is his latest one. It's excellent, and you'll want to get it. But David, thank you so much for being with us. How long have you been in this battle to try to wake people up to the fact that they're poisonous?
About 15 years, Dan. It's been a while. Even the American Dental Association, some people call it ADA, the American Dollar Association, now admit that the baby could be poisoned if it had formula made up with tap water. So, the myth has been blown. I mean, we've been saying that for 30 years, and now even the advocates for fluoridation say, you really shouldn't feed the baby this stuff. National Academy of Science agrees with us. And shown that the levels that are far below what the baby would get will destroy a thyroid. So what are they going to say about it? It's recommended. No. That's not how we provide medications. You don't want to be asking people to take medication because somebody recommends it.
You have to have the scientific studies, and of course, Dr. Kennedy has the scientific studies. We have them as well, and a great syllabus we've put together entitled Hidden Agenda. But you'll certainly want to get his DVD. Is that Let the Truth Be Known or Be Told?
Let the Truth Be Told, and there are some DVDs on the way to you, so people can order it from you. It's 2 hours long. It's got several different people on there, experts from the EPA, dental schools, a documentary my wife and I filmed while we were in China, showing that the Chinese government is trying to take fluoride out of the water. So, what's going on with our government? We're trying to put it in.
Well, I think I think probably the most fascinating part of that picture, the videos you took, was the difference between the children in the classrooms where they had fluoridated water and where they had normal water, where they'd taken the fluoride out. And it was the difference between light and day, that children in the area where they didn't have any fluoride in the water were happy and bubbling like kids. Any place in the world, and in the area where they had the fluoride in the water, they were dull and just simply totally submissive to the directions of the state. We'll be right back here in just a moment, here at Genesis.
September 11th, 2001 changed the world, and the world is now realizing that the official story of that infamous day just doesn't make sense. The overwhelming majority of Americans believe that there is a government cover-up, according to a CNN poll. 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, is a compilation of unaltered news footage and photos from major networks and publications that raises questions that officials dare not ask, let alone answer. The worldwide firestorm of questions raised has forced some into a position of desperation damage control to keep this documentary from being seen or accepted by the masses. Why have these efforts been made to keep you from seeing this documentary and simply asking common sense questions? Find out. You must see 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut, and share it with as many people as possible. Call 877-817-9829 to order your copy. That's 877-817-9829. Unless these questions are answered honestly, the world could be plunged into a third world war. Stop this madness. Call 877-817-9829 today and order your copy of 9/11 in plain sight, the director's cut.
Do you know where the 78 potentially active volcanoes in the U.S. are located? And do you know the locations of the top 300 prime terrorist targets? You can find these answers and more in the new interactive CD book, Prudent Places USA. With the more than 50 interactive parameters, you can pinpoint natural and man-made disaster areas, brewing environmental catastrophes, the safest cities, the best places for solar and wind energy, and much, much more. Complete with 3 gigabytes of detailed information on each of 3,000-plus counties in the U.S., including 550 high-resolution full-color maps and full-color photographs, as well as detailed information and analysis to help you zero in on the best places to live, the ideal location for cabins and vacation homes, as well as safe and unsafe areas. Get Prudent Places USA for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438 to order on the web or at berkeywater.com.
Shelly, you look exhausted. What's wrong?
I am so tired. I just get so hot at night and can't sleep. I have tried everything. All kinds of fans, sheets, pillows. You name it, I've tried it.
My husband has always been a hot sleeper. He's never had a good night's sleep. Then we discovered something that really helped. It's called the Bedfan Personal Cooling System.
The what?
The Bedfan Personal Cooling System. It will keep you cool all night long and will work for everyone that sleeps hot, no matter what the reason. You can see it at bedfan.com.
How well are you sleeping? Are you getting the rest your body needs? Sleep disorder centers across the country recommend that you must stay cool to get a good night's sleep. The Bedfan will keep you cool and give you the restful sleep you deserve. With our 30-day 100% guarantee, you risk nothing. Are you a hot sleeper? Is your partner a hot sleeper? Or are you looking for the perfect gift for that person who has everything? The Bedfan is the answer. Visit us today at www.bedfan.com. That's www.bedfan.com.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, and we've just simply started to talk about what the differences were between the people and specifically the children in the areas where they had high levels of fluoride in the drinking water and the areas where they'd gotten the fluoride out of the water. And, of course, I asked David how they did it, and what they did is they dug very, very deep wells down in the deep aquifers where the water was fresh and didn't have fluoride in it, and then put that, of course, up into towers and then fed that into the communities just by piping, and the people then could got water, and it just transformed their lives. But you tell the story, David.
Yeah, it was quite amazing. Is that back in the 70s, before they had the good water, everybody was crippled. I mean, by the time you were 25 or 30, you had the kind of stooped over shoulders like grandma, you know, the osteoporosis, stoop. It's called kyphosis, and they had the arm wouldn't straighten out. You know, they had pain in all their joints. They had what we would call arthritis. They had lower back pain. And that, you know, these are farmers. They're out working in the field, and they hurt. And they hurt so much that they were in almost total poverty, because both them and their animals, they're farming with mules and so forth, they couldn't do a good day's work, you know, because it hurt too much. And then they went in there and they fixed the water supply. They went in and they found good water for them. And you go back to these same communities 20 years later, the houses are all fixed up. The farmers are making a good living. They're scratching the ground. Even the animals are looking better, you know, that they've... We saw one village that still had the bad water, and the chicken in the courtyard was walking around with a big blown out knee and hobbling around. And the doctor said, "Look, even the chicken is poisoned." And so, you know, how long does a chicken live? You know, a year old or something like that? So, you know, it poisons human beings. And don't take my word for it. Please, go into your bathroom and take a tube of Crest or Colgate or whatever fluoridated kind of toothpaste is in there. And what does it say? It says, warning, keep out of reach of children. You know, just like a gun or a pesticide, keep out of reach of children. And I'd say you should keep that out of the reach of children because it's a dangerous substance. And, that, you know, why would we put it in our water? Only because American industry has it to get rid of. It's got no benefit whatsoever in terms of swallowing fluoride to benefit teeth. It does not. It destroys children's brains and bones. It's the B word, brains, bones, and bodies.
Don't forget, of course, it destroys fertility. It increases the incidence of Down syndrome. It lowers the testosterone level, which is why I believe so many men have erectile dysfunction. It has a profound impact on the sperm count and the sperm motility. It decreases fertility. It attacks the thyroid. It attacks the bones. It attacks the endocrine system. The girls go through their menarche about 6 months earlier in areas where they have this poison in the water. It attacks the pineal gland, and you can go right down the list of all the things it attacks. And then, of course, they get up and they say, well, you know, this is just perfectly safe. You know, there's nothing, and it's effective. I mean, that's the thing. Safe and effective, it's neither safe, and it certainly isn't effective. Unless, of course, they're trying to destroy the minds of our children because it lowers the IQ, and they've done this in scientific studies over in China. And I believe that this is one reason why we have so much ADD and ADHD in our kids today. We never saw this before. So you pick up the story, David.
Yeah, and, you know, that they make all these claims. And you know, if I had all of a sudden I had several hundred thousand tons of something and caused people to go blind, I'd call it bright eyes and sell it to them. You know, it's just horrible. Here's the stuff that actually destroys teeth and bones. There's a study, not a study, but a report where one of these dentists was trying to flush out the germs in the gums that caused bugs, caused gum disease, flushed it out with fluoride, and the bone sloughed around the teeth, and the teeth fell out. You know, it's absolutely a terrible bone-destroying substance. It's one of the reasons we have so much gum disease in the United States today is because of the high amount of fluoride people are brushing with. So, you know, if you have, you know, a ton of stuff that causes people to go blind, you call it bright eyes and sell it to them. But sales is different than science. And so when you get these people in court and under oath that there have been three cases that have gone all the way to the Supreme Court and that they've shown in all three cases that fluoride was a harmful substance in the water supply, and the advocates could not produce a single solitary scientific study that was valid by today's standards showing it was beneficial in preventing tooth decay in the adult teeth. So it's a scam. It's a horrible scam that's destroying the health of the American people. What happens when you destroy the thyroid? You get obese people with cardiovascular disease and cancer. Well, you know, go look at America today. The last 50 years, we've had increases in obesity, heart disease, and cancer. I mean, you know, that doesn't mean that this causes that, but it certainly doesn't mean that there's a tremendous benefit. The tooth decay is lower in European countries, many European countries that do not allow fluoride in the water supply, than they are in the United States. And it has dropped precipitously since after the Depression. Well, what happened after the Depression? We got refrigeration, we got fresh food, we got nourishment, and malnourishment is the cause for tooth decay. Weston Price, years ago, went around the world showing that there was virtually no tooth decay in areas of the world where the people were still eating a natural diet. And you can prove that for yourself. Go to your local museum, look at the North American Indian. Their teeth had almost no tooth decay if they're more than 500 years old. If the remains there are 500 to 1,000 years old, you'll find almost no tooth decay or crooked teeth. They had 32 teeth. The wisdom teeth came in straight. That's another thing that it causes. And, that, you know, when you get here with sugar, white flour, food that has been destroyed of its nutrients, all of a sudden you start getting malnourished children. So, you know, you could feed them McDonald's burgers or you know, sugar-laced foods. And cereals, for example, cereals are up to 14 parts per million fluoride. Wheaties, I think, was 10 parts per million we measured. And so that's because of the concentrated fluoride from the water. So these children are getting overdosed with fluoride. And what does that cause? It causes tooth decay. So, you know, it's like my bright eye stuff, you know, that if it causes some horrible disease, I'm going to claim the opposite because it's sales. You can say anything in sales.
Well, David, would you like to tell us a story? You were telling me on one of the other programs about this dental technician who got up, and she had three children, and she was telling you how great fluoride was. They all had the greatest teeth in the world.
Yeah, that was in Nebraska, and they were packed the hearing where they were, the city council was trying to make a decision. They had about half dentists, half the local citizens, and all the dentists kept getting up telling us how good this was, how good that was. But each member got to, both the advocate and myself, who was the precautionary principal, got to respond. And so one lady gets up and she says, I have three children and all of them have been exposed to fluoride and they don't have any cavities among the three of them. And I asked her, I said, do you have any neurological impairment? And she turned kind of white and shut up and sat down. And her husband came up to me at the end of the meeting. He said, what do you mean by neurological impairment? I said, you know, brain damage. That's what fluoride causes. And he says, how about Down syndrome? And I said, oh, well, that's another form. That's not brain damage specifically. That's chromosome damage. And, yes, it does cause that. That's the Rappaport study from 1957. And he said, well, my wife took fluoride. And we all took fluoride, you know, when we were young and that, right out of school. And my first daughter has Down syndrome. And I said, that's exactly what Rappaport showed, is that Down syndrome does happen in the population of older women, but it almost never happens in a young mother unless she's exposed to fluoride. And that is exactly what Rappaport showed in 1957. So he just took the information. I handed him the study and left. Well, personally, I think that a person of integrity would have stood up, turned around, told the rest of the audience, you know, I've just learned something today I didn't know, and I've changed my vote. I would say no to adding fluoride to the water supply until these questions are answered. And these questions have been answered. All the studies show it's not beneficial.
And I think it's so vitally important that people understand we're damaging our children. Now, in Europe, they don't allow this. In other words, I think, 10% of Great Britain and probably 60% of Ireland. But other than that, why, there's hardly any place in Europe where they allow water fluoridation. Isn't that right?
That's absolutely correct. And they had experiments going on in eastern Germany and Poland and places like that that were under the thumb of the Russians. And that when Russia gave up the Iron Curtain and left the block of countries alone, they all stopped fluoridation. So now there's a bunch of studies out of places like East Germany and Poland showing that when you stop putting fluoride in the water supply, tooth decay goes down. Why were the Russians doing that? Is that fluoride is a byproduct of making nuclear weapons. And so if you got tons of this stuff to get rid of, you take all the people you don't like and put it in their water. I fail to understand why our government's promoting it, because, you know, I thought they liked us, but I guess I'm wrong.
Well, you know, the thing is, we know that Hitler put it in the water, not in German water, but in the occupied areas, because they knew the impact on the brain would make people more placid and willing to go along. The Russians used it, certainly, in the Gulag Archipelago. Do you know if Russia fluoridates its own water, or just out of the occupied countries?
No, it does not. It only does it in the prison camps. And, you know, and I think Phyllis Mullinex did studies on animals. And she showed that if you're exposed to fluoride as an adult, you know, that not before birth, but after birth, that it causes lethargy. It makes you sit on the couch and just sit there and twiddle your thumbs. So it causes exhaustion. And it's exactly what happened in China, is these people were too exhausted. It interferes with your ability to produce energy, is what basically happens. And so you don't have the energy to pick up a shovel and go out and hoe the corn and take care of your tomatoes, and that's exactly what they've shown. And one of the points that I like to make is Europe is not Great Britain and Ireland. If you say, you know, 99% of Europe is fluoride free, that's an accurate statement. And people want to bring up Ireland. Ireland is part of Great Britain, and it's actually an island off the shore, and that they're governed under different rules, and that the only place in Europe. That has a substantial amount of fluoridation. There's one ongoing experiment in Spain, and there is some natural fluoride in Italy, and that one of the towns that has natural fluoride is called Diente Negro, which means black tooth, and that's what fluoride causes. It causes funny-looking spots on the teeth, and if you drink some tea or coffee, they turn black because it's a porous area of the tooth. So Diente Negro, go see Italy and see how good it is for them.
And I think it's so important that people really understand they're poisoning the American people. These figures are well known. The scientific studies are there. You go to fluoridealert.org. Fluoridealert.org. Don't go to com or net. Because those are the ATA websites. They've surrounded the other one.
Some people believe a group of wealthy men control political parties, the American media, and the wealth of our nation. Is this true? Dr. Stanley Monteith spent 40 years studying secret societies and subversive movements. He lived in Africa for 3 years, and when he returned home, he studied the writings of the men who shaped the modern world. His book, Brotherhood of Darkness, identifies the people who control the world and the organizations they created. Dr. Monteith exposes the movement behind Rhodes scholarships, the origin of the Council on Foreign Relations, and the myths surrounding communism. He discusses the goal of all covert organizations, so if you read Brotherhood of Darkness, you will learn a secret that has been passed down through the centuries. When you learn this secret, you will understand what the future holds and what you must do to help preserve our nation. Call and order your copy. 877-300-7645. Only $12.95. That's 877-300-7695.
The war on terrorism, will it be fought overseas or will it affect us here at home? If you are like most folks, you want to be prepared, but can't afford an underground shelter. So what do you do? Did you know that you can use your home as a shelter against fallout and biological or chemical attacks? With a little know-how, it's not that difficult. Sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout, developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government, gives you easy-to-follow video instructions and walks you step-by-step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. Get this critical video every American needs for only $29 plus shipping. Order by calling New Millennium today at 888-803-4438. That's 888-803-4438. Or order on the web at BerkeyWater.com.
Hi, this is Ted Anderson, here for the 2007 Red Book. The commodity markets like gold, silver, copper, aluminum, and oil have exploded over the last year. This is a glaring testimony of how quickly the U.S. dollar can be devalued. Many have turned to precious metals to provide a safe haven while increasing the potential profits. Though accumulating precious metals has been a proven method for the storage of wealth, it is important that you understand the market you are getting into. Midas Resources is offering the Red Book and Silver Dollar for only $27.95. The Red Book is the number one best-selling guide to gold and silver coins. Call for your copy today. It's 800-686-2237. If you've already accumulated or plan to get into the precious metals market, you simply must have the Red Book in your library. Call 800-686-2237. That's 1-800-686-2237.
Hello friends, Alex Jones here with an important question. When was the last time you used pure soap? I mean real hard to find all natural pure soap that contains no dyes, perfumes, deodorants, detergents, or other dangerous toxins. The Calbin Pure Soap Company, for the past 57 years, has been making triple concentrated pure soaps exclusively for healthcare professionals and hospitals. Now for the first time, Calbin Pure Soap is available factory direct to you and your family. That's great news because Calbin Pure Soap is made from all natural ingredients, is earth-friendly, and completely environmentally safe. So if you want yesterday's values today for good old-fashioned pure soap, call 1-800-340-7091. Save up to 85% off supermarket and retail store prices. Call today for a Calbin soap catalog at 1-800-340-7091. That's 1-800-340-7091 or on the web at calbinpuresoap.com. Try pure soap once and I'll guarantee you'll never use anything else.
Well, Dr. Stan, back here at the Genesis Communication Network, and coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy, and you, of course, know that we have many, many times talked about the fact that there is a racist agenda behind the AIDS epidemic, because, of course, here in the United States, the majority of the new AIDS cases are among blacks. In Botswana, why? 46% of the pregnant women are now infected with HIV. They're all going to die. A friend just came back from South Africa, was telling me that, I mean, they just have to keep expanding the cemeteries more and more for all the blacks that are dying, and it's just decimating South Africa and so many of the African countries, because this disease has a predilection for blacks. AIDS has a predilection for blacks, specifically. But one of the most interesting things Dr. Kennedy was telling me about is about the hydrofluosilicic acid. They actually put a... Well, I'm going to let him tell you about the hydrofluosilicic acid and its relationship to lead levels. Now, there's no safe level of lead. I mean, you have lead, it's going to attack your brain, and especially with children, devastating effects from it. So you pick the story up there, David.
Yeah, the sad news is that they don't put fluoride in your water supply. What's added to the water supply in 91% of the waters of the United States is a product that's called hydrofluosilicic acid. It's actually the elixir from the pollution scrubbers of the phosphate mining industry. And it's only 23% hydrofluosilicic acid. They put in about 6.8 parts per million of the elixir, and they stir it around. They get one part per million fluoride. Well, anybody who's real good at math will be sitting around and say, well, you got one of fluoride, but you got 5.8 of something else. What is that else? Well, the else is a non-disassociated hydrofluosilicic acid, lead, cadmium, arsenic, mercury. It's a potpourri of all kinds of heavy metals and toxins. But the hydrofluosilicic acid is patented to remove lead from brass. It's the only substance we know will dissolve brass and take the lead out and leave the copper behind. And what happens is when you put it in the water, a child or an adult, for that matter, exposed to this substance, that the hydrofluosilicic acid extracts lead from the food or from dust or from any other source of exposure and takes it into their bloodstream. It actually catalyzes the removal of lead from other sources, like paint or old plumbing. If you had a house built before 1970 that the paint was had lead in it, if you have plumbing that was soldered with the old solder, the hydrofluosilicic acid extracts the lead from that. If you have brass faucets, it extracts the lead from that, takes it into your bloodstream. They found that black children that had any other potential source of exposure had a six-fold increase. Now, the way the dentists like to talk about tooth decay, we'd have to say that was a 600% increase in the amount of lead in the bloodstreams of the black children, 400% in the Hispanic children, a 100% increase in the overall. And so that we damaged 100% more of the children with high blood levels of lead by putting hydrofluosilicic acid in the water. But even more specifically, we damaged the children that were Hispanic and black. And we didn't have enough data. We only had 450,000 children. Remember, that's more children than all of the tooth decay studies done in the history of the United States and actually the world combined. 450,000 children, almost a 500,000 children. But we didn't have enough Asian children to see if it happens with them too. North American Indians, we didn't have that big a population. It's on the eastern seaboard, so it probably happens there too. It seems to be related to lactose intolerance. So if this child that doesn't have a lot of milk in their stomach at the time that they're eating something, then it would have a tendency to absorb the lead. That's our theory at the moment. We don't know if that's true or not. The government does not fund these studies. These are studies that are done by people like Roger Masters at Dartmouth, professor that has spent his whole life researching the impact of lead on our society. And what he's determined is that if you have a child with high blood levels of lead in infancy and youth, they're much more likely to be in prison by the time they're 18, 19 years old for a violent crime than their paired social equal, a child that did not have high blood levels of lead. All of the things considered, lead alone. So when we talk about no child left behind, Roger has a wonderful graph showing that the lead level of children and their scores in school. So when we talk about how difficult it is to get children to understand what's going on in school, that's lead. That's nothing but lead and fluoride, because fluoride causes the lead to go up. So when we talk about no child left behind, let's quit poisoning the kids and we'll just watch them spring to life like they did in China. When they quit poisoning the water in China, the kids got bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and they started answering the questions and doing great work in school. And they're healthy, optimal, they're just bouncing around like happy, healthy children as compared to the poisoned children.
And, of course, in America today, among young black men, out of every three is either in prison, probation, or parole. Do you think that's happening just by accident, ladies and gentlemen? And I'd like to suggest there really is the ultimate in racism, and it's working at the highest levels of our government today.
Order a copy of this show for your friends and family at GCNLive.com. or call 877-300-7645.
According to the American Diabetes Association, more than 18 million people in the U.S. have diabetes. Most people with diabetes have risk factors such as obesity, high blood pressure, and cholesterol, which increase their risk for heart disease. For example, more than 65% of people with diabetes die from heart disease or stroke. Finding out you or your loved ones have diabetes can be scary. This is why, as your trusted online partner in health, we are committed to bringing you products that help you make informed decisions about your health. At researchherbs.com, you can learn more about GlucoCare, a highly effective and safe natural herbal supplement formulated specifically to help maintain optimal blood sugar levels. As with all products featured on researchherbs.com, GlucoCare is the result of several years of rigorous development and is backed by numerous clinical trials and experimental studies. Visit us online at researchherbs.com or call 1-800-845-3841 to learn more. That's 1-800-845-3841.
Terrorism, terrorism, chemical attacks, dirty bombs, fallout, biological attack, anthrax, and to top it all off, duct tape and plastic. Alarming words for our time. But how do you protect your family during such a crisis? The video sheltering in place, surviving acts of terrorism from biological, chemical, and radioactive fallout was developed by Wayne LeBaron, a health physicist who has served as a specialist in environmental health, communicable diseases, and has worked as a nuclear specialist for the U.S. government. Anyone can follow the simple instructions. It's presented by a housewife as they walk you step by step through the process of preparing your home as a shelter. If you're not the type who waits till it's too late, then you need the video sheltering in place. Get the critical information you need now for only $29 plus shipping by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438 and tell them Alex Jones sent you. That's 888-803-4438 or order on the web at murkywater.com.
Sometimes you feel like you're just a number. To the banks, the credit card companies, the lenders and financial institutions, you are just a number. Your credit score. And unless that number is above their standards, you get stuck paying more for everything. Hi, I'm John Commuta, creator of the Transforming Debt into Wealth system. If you don't have perfect credit, banks will either take advantage of you or slam the door in your face. But I want to send you a free tape that shows you how my proven system will wipe the slate clean once and for all. My system doesn't just raise your credit score, it will permanently insulate your credit status so it can never come back to haunt you again. It works no matter how bad your credit is or how much debt you have. Call today and I'll send you a free tape showing you the power of my proven system. You can hit the reset button on your credit score and wipe the slate clean. Let me show you how. Call right now to get my free tape. 1-800-400-8498. That's 1-800-400-8498. 1-800-400-8498.
Well, Dr. Stan back here at the Genesis Communication Network. Our guest is Dr. David Kennedy. And David, before I go on, I want you to get your website out so people will know how to get in touch with you and the work you're doing.
To work on the issue of safe water, it's called keepersofthewell.org. And keepers, all one word, of the well.org, O-R-G. And that's Jeff Green and my website. It's about the congressional investigation of 2000 and about the Safe Drinking Water Act. We pass ordinances throughout cities and communities and protect the water supply from intrusion by industry by simply requiring that any substance added to the water supply be approved by the FDA and not be contaminated. Also, there's an 800 number. It's 800-728-3833. And that's Jeff Green again. And that we work together and help you get your community protected, insulated from this intrusion by industry into our water supply. Thank you, Stan.
All right, fine. Well, next then, let me just mention that David has a couple of excellent DVDs on this subject. One is called Let the Truth Be Told, and we carry that. And it's actually four programs, four different interviews. Each one is timed so that they can be used on cable television. Why don't you tell them about that DVD? Because I think it's important that they know, and hopefully they'll want to get it and get this out far and wide.
This was a joint effort between me and Michael and Paul Connett. It's four parts right now, and we're going to have another issue out probably in January or February to make it eight parts, and it's for play on local public access. The law still allows the population, the public, access to the TV, only it's your local TV. It doesn't go nationwide, it goes local. So what we have is a network of people like yourselves that simply go down to the cable station and say, I'd like to be a local public producer, and it costs you $10 or $15, and then you can go in and play this DVD, a half-hour segment. And so you get to play four of them. After January, we'll have four more. And so all of a sudden, you become a local producer. And then you can tell your community what you learn here on this program by playing the DVD for them. And it requires very little on-camera time for you, but it just requires the move your feet. You got to get in the car, go down, go to the public access TV, get on there, and then play your thing. The permission to play it is right in the DVD. When it comes to you, it says the producers and directors and owners of the copyright do affirmatively give our permission for this to be played on public access. That's our goal. We want to tell the public what's going on.
Now, one of the segments is on Dr. Kennedy's trip to China. Fascinating, you know, to see what China's really like in the outer areas. Pretty primitive in many ways, isn't it?
Oh, yes, and pretty tragic, too, when we go to the village where they tried to drill a new well and the casing broke and they got worse water and the people are still crippled there, so it's terrible. There's another segment on there with Bill Hersey. He's the senior vice president of the EPA Scientist Union, testifying before the Senate Committee on Water about why his union has called for an immediate ban on all fluoridation programs because it's causing bone cancer, he says. Hardy Lambeck is on there. He's a dental professor in Toronto. Used to teach people how to use fluoride, and he changed his mind. Christopher Bryson is on there. He talks about his book. I believe you carry his book.
Yes, we do, The Fluoride Deception.
The Fluoride Deception, and he talks about how that book came about and why he discovered about it, you know, and how it all happened. He's a wonderful interview, and everybody should watch that and then buy the book. You can't put it down. It's just like he rolls the clock back to the 30s, where there was a town, Dora, Pennsylvania. They called it the Killing Fog of Dora, and people were dying on Halloween night in Dora of what the public health service says was thick air. Well, autopsy showed it was not thick air, it was fluoride coming out of the smokestacks of the zinc smelters in Dora, and that it killed them. But, you know, they didn't care. You know, hundreds of people got sick. They didn't care. They wanted to keep the industry producing zinc, you know, making money for the big dollar guys. And who helped do that? That was our government. Not looking out for you, looking out for the dollars. And that, you know, there's a smoking gun right there, and that's 60 years ago. So, anyway, Christopher Bryson's book. It's a wonderful book. So there's a nice interview on there. So it's four parts. The next one will have four more dynamite parts, and we're really having some fun putting that together. And one of them's called Poisoned Horses, and it's a story of horses in Pagosa Springs, Colorado. Kathy Justice, they have 10 animals that have died from fluoride, and that it wasn't until, you know, this went on for years, and she finally called Jeff Green, and Jeff got a hold of Leonard Crook, and they took some bones from one of her prized show horses, their quarter horses. She shows them. She has a whole room full of ribbons, but the horse died, so they took a bone from the horse and sent it to Leonard Crook. Diagnosis? Fluoride poisoned. And that was from tap water that's allegedly beneficial to your kids. Not true. So anyway, we're using you as our effort to reach out and touch more people. But we're asking the public to step up and do this. It's not Stan's job. It's not my job. It's our job. It's our country. And you either stand up and fight for it or you lose it.
Amen to that. Well, anyway, the DVD, you know, not that expensive. It's $19.95, and you go ahead and give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. That's 1-800-544-8927. David's promised to have him here in a few days, and you need to get this information. You need to get to your dentist. He's not going to believe you, because he's been told over and over and over and over and over and over again, it's safe and effective. And it isn't safe and effective. And one of the people who helped David make this DVD is a man named Paul Connett, Dr. Paul Connett, professor of chemistry, and he has a website called fluoridealert.org. Now, the other side, the people who hate you and hate your children, doesn't want you to go to fluoridealert.org, so they bought up fluoridealert.net and fluoridealert.com So if you don't remember, and you can't remember whether it's net or org or what it is, you're going to go to the wrong website, and they're going to tell you how wonderful fluoride is. And they know it, how dangerous it is, because even they admit it doesn't do any good to swallow it. But there is a fabulous amount of money here. Because, you know, we're dealing with literally, how many, what, a couple of hundred million gallons of this stuff every year that they've got to get rid of?
More than that, Stan. It's 200,000 tons. Tons. 200,000 tons a year are dumped into the water supplies of the American people. 200,000 tons.
And it's too toxic to let vent into the air.
It's too toxic to put into a stream. It eats a hole in the concrete or glass.
You can't even take it out and dump it in the ocean.
No.
Because that would be against the law to dump it in the ocean.
A hazardous waste landfill. You first have to neutralize it with lime or some sort of calcium product, and then you put it in a landfill where it can't seep into the water supply. Otherwise, our water supply will cripple us just like it's crippling the Chinese. So it's horrible stuff. And there's a guy, a water treatment guy in Arkansas, was changing a pump, and he one of the valves still had some pressure on it. And he opened it up, and it spritzed at him, you know, just like the hose does, you know, when you turn it on. And it got maybe a half a cup of the stuff on him. He's permanently disabled. And I don't mean he's not a slacker. He damn near died. His joints are all blown up. He can hardly bend over. He is poisoned from a half a cup. And he had on protective gear. He had on rubber gloves. He had on a special apron. He had on, he'd be blind if he didn't. He had on glasses. He had on safety goggles. But that little got on enough of his arm that it damn near killed him. It's not good stuff. Don't let him put it in the water.
Well, I think that American people really need to find out if what Dr. Kennedy is saying is true. I will tell you, I know it's true because I've read all these scientific studies. And the fact they would put something in the water supply that leads to Down's disease, and these poor little kids, you know, they start out a life with 2.5 strikes against them. You know, that put something in that would give our men, so many of our men, erectile dysfunction because it lowers the testosterone level. You're not going to hear that. Why don't you ask your doctor about that and then get the scientific studies? They're all available at fluoridealert.org. Or, of course, you can get so much of this through my syllabus, the Hidden Agenda, because we actually have excerpts, abstracts of these articles we got right off the Internet with the permission of the people who publish Fluoride Magazine. And you can be very, very sure your dentist and your doctor has never looked at an issue of Fluoride Magazine. If they did, why, they would have to, if they're honest, change their position totally. Well, our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. That's 1-800-259-5791. What about the incidence of cancer? I think this is one of the biggest things because they have intentionally and purposely covered up the truth about bone cancer, osteogenic sarcoma in boys. And, you know, as an orthopedic surgeon, I had to occasionally take care of those. And it just broke your heart to see a child with, an osteogenic sarcoma. And in those days, they were 100% fatal. Now they're still, you know, predominantly fatal, but at least a few more of them survive than they used to, although they have to take the limb off. And how do you like to think about cutting off the leg of a 7 or 8 year old boy?
And this is a product that causes that to happen 7 times more often, and that's what the research has just shown, is that if you're putting hydrofluorophilic acid in the water, kids end up with bone cancer 6 to 7 times more frequently, little boys. And so, you know, how can you justify doing that? It's a crime, because most of these kids are going to either lose a limb or die or both. What a horrible thing to do to children.
Now, what about that study back at Harvard where this professor hid the statistics? He actually intentionally hid it, and he gets a grant from Colgate Palmolive. So he's hiding this information, and this is really sort of scientific malpractice. What's that story all about?
Well, that's Chester Douglas. He's the editor of the newsletter for dentists about how good the Colgate's products are. He's also a professor at Harvard, Forsyth Dental Research Institute. And his graduate student, doing research on epidemiology, he got $1 million grant from the National Institute of Health to study the relationship between fluoride in the water and bone cancer. Well, for one thing, you don't give dentists money to study bone cancer because they can't treat it. They can't diagnose it, and they shouldn't be allowed to study it because they don't have a license that lets them do that. That would be a job for somebody like Dr. Monteith, who is an orthopedic surgeon. He would be able to study that kind of stuff. Anyway, this guy had a graduate student. She was smart enough to say, well, you know, the data you have is old women and old men, young boys and young girls, and that the rats, only the young boy rats got bone cancer. She said, so I think what I'll do is I'll just study the young boy humans. And then we'll do a case control study. So where we go interview every parent, every survivor, and find out what level of fluoride was in the drinking water, whether they took fluoride tablets, whether they used fluoride mouthwash, whether they used fluoride toothpaste, for every year of life. And that's a real carefully case control study. And she's the lady that showed a six-fold increase in bone cancer if they were drinking fluoridated tap water at the time they were 6 years old. It didn't make any difference what they drank when they were one, two, three, or four. But if you're drinking that fluoride water at the time your little short boys grow to tall boys, you know how they have two growth spurts? One is around 6 or 7 years old. The other is around 14 years old. Both of those points in time that the bone cancer cropped up enormously higher. I think it was 6 on one and 5 on the other. Fold, 500%, as the dentists like to talk about toothpaste, 600% increase. And that what she got her Ph.D., you know, the Dr. Master, Chester Douglas said, oh, yeah, that's a real good study, and she answered all the questions that the review committee wanted to know about it. Said, good study, and then they hid it in the rare books, and it was done in 2001, and until my friend Paul Conant and his son dug it out, Chester Douglas wrote for the final grant. He wrote the final paper. He says, oh, my graduate student and I both concur there's no increase in bone cancer, and nobody had ever heard of the graduate student study, so Paul Conant and his son went down and tried to get it. And they refused to let him have it, but they let him read it. And so they read it, and it didn't show what Chester Douglas was saying it did. So they got a copy of it. They could only copy 10 pages. So Mike copied 10 pages, and Dad copied 10 pages. You know, they got pretty much all the study. And they gave it to the National Academies of Science, and they also got the Environmental Work Group to file a complaint for fraud. Here you are collecting money and claiming that your research showed one thing when in fact it shows another. And there are laws against that. And that's basically what they were doing. It's scientific fraud, in my opinion, is the only reason that people are confused about the alleged benefits of fluoride in the water supply. There's no benefit for having fluoride in the water supply. It never was. It's just a scientist bought by large dollars from the U.S. federal government, tell the government what they want to hear. And they want to hear that fluoride is beneficial, so they come up with some kind of study that shows that.
And then they come around to to state legislators, and they pay off all the politicians, and they go into local communities, and they give contributions to the people who go along with their agenda. And I'm talking about the phosphate fertilizer industry. They've got to get rid of this stuff. They couldn't continue operating if they actually had to pay to get it disposed of in a toxic waste dump. So instead of having to pay for it, they get you to pay for it, and they get about $3 a gallon for it, and that's what's really behind so much of this agenda. But, you know, the politicians really don't understand. They just go where the dollars are. And we've got, in most state capitals across America, and with government agencies, some of the finest politicians and some of the finest bureaucrats that money could buy. And if you don't think these people are for sale, I think you're incredibly naive, ladies and gentlemen. You've got to find out what they've been doing to your children and how they've been poisoning their minds. Our telephone number is 1-800-259-5791. The DVD that you should get, Let the Truth Be Told. It's very well done, very professionally done, and you'll be very pleased getting this onto cable television. Help us get the word out. Why? Because if we can convince the people on this one issue that they've been lied to, maybe we can get them to begin looking at some of the other issues, and maybe they'll realize they've been lied to there as well. On the other hand, of course, when you stop and think, we may be taking, on an average, somewhere between 5 and 10 points off the IQ. And you once told me, David, that in the areas where there are high levels of fluoride, there are lots more people down in the sub-level as far as intelligence, and very, very few geniuses.
That's exactly what the studies in China showed, is that if they had high fluoride in the water, that they lost almost all the genius. And they increased the amount of mental retardation and learning disorders enormously. So they took all the people from the high IQ and moved them into the low IQ. And that's they showed that in two different situations. One, in high fluoride in the water, 4 parts per million, which is legal in the United States. You could buy water in your health food store called Trinity, and that was that high. And then the other was an area where they went in and the children had dental fluorosis. And they didn't pay so much attention to what the level of fluoride was in the water, but they went through the classroom, and if the child had dental fluorosis, then they went and looked up what their scores were on the IQ test and the school test, and they showed that if the child had dental fluorosis, that they scored much lower on IQ tests, and that they had basically no geniuses with dental fluorosis, and they had lots of damaged children with dental fluorosis. Well, today in the United States, or actually in 1987 in the United States, 66% of the children had at least one tooth that was visibly scarred by excess fluoride, and 30% of the children had at least two teeth that were visibly scarred by swallowing excess fluoride when they were infants. So that's one of the reasons that the National Academies of Sciences said that infants can be harmed by fluoride in their formula. And even the ADA now agrees. So let's not poison the babies. What do you say?
Well, they're destroying their minds, ladies and gentlemen. This is not imaginary. This is very real. And you've got to help us get the truth out. Dr. David Kennedy, thank you so very much for being with us. And thank you for all the wonderful work you've done for this last 15 years.
Ben, thank you for having me on. And tell your listeners to order that DVD, watch it. And if they got any questions, call you or me, and we'll get it worked out and get them working.
This is Pastor David Whitney with Institute on the Constitution. Our founders constructed this constitutional republic with the intent that citizens would function as the final check on the power of civil government. But that design would only work if the citizens understood our form of government as well as their responsibilities within that structure. That's why Institute on the Constitution has put together a host kit that enables anyone, anywhere, with any group of people to instruct them on our founding documents. We urge you to order a host kit. You can call us toll-free at 866-730-9796. That's 866-730-9796. Or you can order it on the web. Go to our website, iotconline.com. The only way our republic will survive is if its citizens arm themselves with the knowledge of our founding fathers' original intent of the Constitution, the Declaration, and the Bill of Rights. Call us 866-730-9796.
Nuclear reactors provide economical energy, but would you be prepared during an accident? During nuclear disasters, great amounts of radioactive iodine are released into the atmosphere, which are then readily absorbed into the body. Medical Corps' potassium iodate gives you virtually complete protection from the most feared consequence of a nuclear accident, radioactive poisoning. Potassium iodate can protect against radioactive poisoning by filling the thyroid with good iodine. This shields the thyroid and prevents it from absorbing the harmful radioactive iodine. Potassium iodate is better than the iodide form because it is not as likely to cause upset stomachs in children, the elderly, the sick, and pets. Order the official potassium iodate for only $24 and save $5 by calling New Millennium at 888-803-4438. Call now and get free shipping. That's 888-803-4438.
The ideology powering the Democrats and Republicans is not liberalism or conservatism, but globalism. Globalists are concerned with what's good for big business and the American empire instead of what's fair for the American people. The only antidote to the poison of globalism is nationalism. Start reading the Nationalist Times each month. The Nationalist Times promotes a common sense, intelligent, and passionate alternative to the reigning party line. Published monthly since 1985, the Nationalist Times is a 20-page newspaper featuring outstanding writers and columnists who don't believe in taboos or sacred cows. Be one of the many thousands of loyal readers of the Nationalist Times. Subscribe now to the Nationalist Times. Just $19 for 1 year. That's 50% off the regular price. Send your $19 subscription to the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. That's the Nationalist Times, P.O. Box 426, Allison Park, PA 15101. Or subscribe online at our website, www.anu.org.
Well, this is Dr. Stan, and this is the time when I really need to remind our listeners that my ministry, Radio Liberty, is primarily listener-supported, and we, quite frankly, need your help. And if there's any way you can possibly support us, we'd love to hear from you. Our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464. Telephone number for if you'd like to help us is 1-800-544-8927. We have so many numbers they get a little confusing, but 1-800-544-8927. Now, if you'd like to get the DVD we were talking about, Let the Truth Be Told, Excellent. It's available at that number. And then the how safe is your drinking water, I think, is the other one. That has a number of interviews on it, too, but they're not specifically timed for the cable television. We carry the book, The Fluoride Deception. We carry 2 4-tape sets on fluoride, which we recommend to you. And then we have my talk, The Hidden Agenda, and it's available on VHS. And then we have the syllabus that goes with that, and you get the two of them together, and you get a special reduced rate. That's The Hidden Agenda, the syllabus, and, of course, the talk. And it will really give you the understanding, the ability to discuss this intelligently, and to point out the scientific studies that show that it doesn't do any good to ingest the fluoride in fluoridated water. The fluoride acts locally on the teeth. It does not work from within your body, so why are you taking it in? Why? Because it attacks your immune system, it attacks your it attacks your bones, it attacks your fertility, it attacks your mind, it attacks your thyroid, it attacks your heart, it attacks every single one of the organs in your body. Fluoride is a deadly poison. So why are they giving it to the American people? Well, one thing, it keeps people in line, and of course people are much more compliant when they're drinking fluoridated water. And as incredible as it may seem, that's the reason that the Russians, of course, were using fluoridated water, you know, on the people in Eastern Europe and in their satellite countries, but they weren't going to use it in Russia on their own people any more than Hitler would use it on his own people. He used it, the fluoridated water on the people in the occupied areas when the Nazis had taken those countries, but not in Hitler's Germany itself. So again, all of this information is available at Radio Liberty by calling us at 1-800-544-8927. We do hope many of you will, of course, get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness, and read it. We hope many of you will want to get some of those new DVDs we put out, or some of them we're carrying. Certainly Dr. Ayub on the influenza vaccine. You'll want to get, it's not a DVD, it's actually on a VHS, but it's very well done. Excellent talk. And you need to understand that they're poisoning pregnant women, they're poisoning children with the mercury that's in there. Yes, both the mercury and the fluoride and the aspartame, which is in NutraSweet, which are so many things, are toxic and actually create brain damage. And they all impact on the fertility. They know that. They just don't want you to know. Our new 4-tape sets, The Changing Church, Globalism, The Secret Threat, The Impending Police State, Medical Myths, What You Need to Know, The North American Community, The Demise of a National Sovereignty, and The Truth About the Holocaust. America is under attack today, and you need to have the information that will help you to reach others. Let me suggest my August and September newsletters. They're available up on the Internet. The October newsletter will be going out next week, and hopefully the November newsletter will be going out not too long after that. Quite frankly, we need your help to get this information out. Feel free to go ahead and simply quote from our newsletters, or go ahead and copy them and distribute them and disseminate them. You have our permission to copy any of our 4-tape sets or any of our DVDs that we've made, as long as you're not making a profit on them. And then, of course, we also hope that you'll tell others about our program. Now, you can hear our programs on shortwave or the Internet 5 hours a day at our website. And, of course, we're on the America Freedom Network, we're on the Genesis Network, we're on the Radio Liberty Network, we're on the Republic Broadcasting Network, and Soundwaves 2000. All these websites carry our programming, and we need you to help us. We're in a spiritual battle for the souls of men. There really are evil and wicked people out there, and we need your help to get the information out. We'll be back in just a moment for the next hour.
Hello, folks. Alex Jones here, introducing Prudent Places USA, an interactive CD book that is your premier resource for hard-to-find information. Find out about everything from job migration to evacuation information, such as major bridges in disrepair and FEMA evacuation time studies for coastal cities. Zero in on man-made disaster zones, environmental areas of concern, and natural disaster zones. Find out everything from where to get water in an emergency to geographic income levels. Housing prices, complete with over three...
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5 KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay, and bringing you the news behind the news, the story behind the story, hoping to convince you that reality is usually scoffed at. Illusion is usually king. But in the battle for survival of Western civilization, it's going to be reality, not illusion or delusion, that will determine what the future will bring. And I have to remind you the views that are expressed here are not necessarily those of the owners, management, staff, sponsors, or supporters of the station you're listening to. They happen to be my views, the views of our guests, and we welcome your calls from out across America at 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. But please hold your calls for the time being. We have with us on the line Dr. Joseph Douglas, and we carry his book on the POWs, the men we left behind, and the fact that we left behind many hundreds of boys in Vietnam, and probably 1,000 more in Laos. They were employed by the CIA, and they were simply abandoned when we pulled out, and Henry Kissinger and the others, Richard Nixon, knew we left them behind, and the Vietnamese would love to have given them back, and we wouldn't take them, because they didn't want the American people to know that they'd lied to them. I wonder how those men feel 30 years after the war has ended, knowing that most people here really don't even remember, and most really don't care. Well, you want to read the book, Betrayed. It's a wonderful book. We have it available. But right today, we're going to be talking about another book. It's written by the William E. Simon. It's called A Time for Truth. And it was written, what, about 10, 15 years ago, Joe?
Actually, it was written almost 30 years ago.
Okay, fine. Why don't you go ahead, and certainly you've read the book, and if you have some thoughts about it.
Well, let's first understand, for a listening audience, who William Simon was and some of his backgrounds. It becomes very important because of what he learned when he was in the government. He was really sort of the ultimate workaholic and professional. He was in finance for 30 years right out of college. He worked hard there, and he rose right up to the top. And his last almost 10 years were spent as a senior partner in Salomon Brothers. Right from there, he was then catapulted into a top position in the government. He started out under Nixon as the Deputy Secretary of the Treasury when they knew that Shultz was going to be leaving, and within about a half a year he was Secretary of the Treasury, where he remained for 5 years. And, you know, this was no simple task at that time. There were several crises. This was at the time that we had one of the worst inflations and recessions in 40 years. This was the time when we had the oil embargoes and the OPEC problems and the escalating oil crisis, and he was indeed made energy czar at that time, so he had to deal with that. And not only that, that's also when the bankruptcy, default and bankruptcy of New York City took place. And so he had that, which was a tremendous political problem to deal with. So he was in this high position in government, focused on these critical position problems for 5 years with hardly a chance to call his own, again working 16, 14, 15, 16, 17 hours a day, quite a trial. And on top of course, his normal work, he also had to deal with Congress, which amounted to hearings every week and taking up the vast majority of his time for 5 years. So what this book represents when he came out is all the things he really learned when he found what was really happening at the top levels of government.
But of course, he talked about the possibility of a political and economic collapse of our system, and that was 30 years ago. And he said this wasn't an imaginary threat. It was a very real threat.
Oh, it sure was. As a matter of fact, it was a fear that dominated his thinking for the whole 5 years. It was a fear that the United States was being destroyed economically and freedom-wise.
Hold that thought. We'll be right back here at Radio Liberty. Well, this is Dr. Stan here at Radio Liberty, coming to you from the hills overlooking beautiful and picturesque Monterey Bay. Our guest today is Dr. Joe Douglas, and we're, of course, we carry his other books, and we've interviewed him many times on his book Betrayed and his book on red cocaine, which goes in, of course, to the communist influence of flooding America with drugs, of course, working hand in glove with our CIA as well. But anyway, we're today going to be talking about a book that was written by William Simon, published in 1978. The book is called A Time for Truth, and Dr. Douglas has reviewed this for us. The book was written 28 years ago by the man who spent almost 5 years as Secretary of the Treasury, and his views on the threat to America almost 30 years ago, which I fear is coming to pass today. Dr. Douglas, you go ahead and pick the story up from there.
I'd love to, Dr. Stan, particularly because this book is really just so exciting in terms of the message it portrays that Simon saw, understood, was educated about in those 4 or 5 years at the Secretary of Treasury. And what he indeed did see was, and feared, was that the United States was being destroyed, that we were losing our economic and our political freedom, and what was perhaps worse was that people simply did not understand it or recognize it, except for a very, very small number of people, none of whom were willing to speak out. And the way he saw it was not that we were just losing this in an ad hoc manner or just by evolution, but rather he saw it as a contest that was clearly taking place, as he could see it. As he explained it, there were two political philosophies that he saw in fatal combat. The one philosophy favored economic and political freedom, the individual, and the individual's ability to excel. And, of course, these are all descriptive of what made the United States great. The second philosophy that was in combat, as he saw it, and these were really his words, not mine, was a combination of Marxism, socialism, democratic socialism, all of which really favored not individualism, but the collective. Not the ability of people to excel, but egalitarianism. In the state intervention in almost everything, and particularly in deception. These were all directed to government control, power, and tyranny.
And, of course, what most people don't understand is this whole Marxist philosophy is actually being encouraged by our great tax-exempt foundations created by people of great wealth. We'll be right back here with Dr. Douglas. Well, this is Dr. Stan, and of course our guest is Dr. Joseph Douglas, and we're talking about a book that he's recently reread for me, so we could talk about it. It was written by William Simon. It's called A Time for Truth. The book was actually published in 1978, so it's 28 years ago, when the former Secretary of the Treasury lays down what he learned in government, and certainly the book is highly praised by Milton Friedman, by Friedrich Hayek, and of course they were both the Nobel Prize winners, and both of them agreed that, you know, you cannot have this collectivist philosophy where everything is regulated from Washington, D.C., where you have central planning, and that's exactly what we have. Our agricultural board controls agriculture. Our Federal Department of Education controls education. We have our Department of Transportation, which regulates transportation. We have the Health Department of Human Health and Human Services, which is increasing regulating the medicine, and you can see what a mess they've made out of what was once the finest healthcare delivery system in the world, where you could get a hospital room for, well, I can remember when my mother paid $13 a day for a hospital room. Now, of course, you can pay $5,000 a day, and you don't get either a back rub or you may not even get a meal. And this is a direct result of government interference in the healthcare system. The bureaucracy, the faceless bureaucracy, oppressing people in America just as they do in any country with a centralized control. So you pick up the story there.
You know, one of the interesting things, Dr. Stan, is the way in which Mr. Simon really described what was happening here. And he used the following two words as the overall description of it several times in his book. He called it democratic socialism. Now, this is very important. It's not what everybody thinks. It is really a combination of Marxism, socialism, and communism, what have you. But, you know, when you go back and look at the communist state, the Soviet Union, and you ask what this is, people tend to say, well, that was a communist state. Of course, that is not correct. They may have been communists in terms of their guiding philosophy, but Russia was, or the Soviet Union, was never a communist state. The way they referred to it was a state of democratic socialism.
And actually, of course, we had more in the way of socialist programs here in the United States than they ever had in the Soviet Union. People didn't understand that what they had in the Soviet Union was an elitist system with a small ruling clique, a massive bureaucracy, a massive army, a massive police force looking after the people and regulating the people and intimidating the people and killing anybody who got in the way, and they're still doing it. We saw that they finished off an ex-spy over in London here just yesterday or the day before. They killed one of the women who was a reporter who was a critic of Putin's, and about 2 weeks ago. They're still killing their opposition. They've got a smile on their faces, and President Bush said he looked in Putin's eyes and he knew he could trust him. But, of course, Putin is a long, lifelong member of the KGB. And if you look in his eyes, I've looked in his eyes on television, and I wouldn't trust him any further than I could throw him with my left arm.
That's right. And, you know, one of the things that this democratic socialism, when I read about that in his book and his seeing that was the direction we were heading, what that brought to mind was a conversation we had a couple of months ago when we talked about the meeting between Norman Dodd, who was working for Congressman Reese, doing the Reese Committee investigation, and Rowan Gaither, who was the head of the Ford Foundation. And it was in that meeting that Rowan Gaither said that the object of the Ford Foundation, operating on directives from the White House, was to so alter conditions in the United States as to make comfortable the merger of the Soviet Union and the United States. And as you can see, the Soviet Union was democratic socialism. And here is Rowan Gaither a couple years later saying that he could see what was happening in the United States, and it was the destruction of our liberties, our freedoms, economic and liberty, political, and that where we were headed was democratic socialism. Exactly as Rowan Gaither said, the Ford Foundation was working overtime to facilitate. And what is interesting and why Simon's background is very important is he could see what was happening, but I really don't think that he understood the forces that had been behind this, involving the most powerful financial forces in the United States, such as the Ford Foundation, the Rockefeller Foundation, Carnegie Foundations, and all those other foundations that were described so aptly and excellently by the final report of the Reese Committee back in 1954.
And of course, for the listener out there, we do carry the book written by the counsel for the Reese Committee, Mr. Rennie Wormser. The book is called Foundations, Their Power and Influence. It has been actively suppressed for many years. We've kept it in print, but of course you can't get this through regular channels. They do not want you to get this through regular channels. Foundations, Their Power and Influence, of course, shows how the great tax-exempt foundations and people of great wealth have been pushing Marxism and communism and socialism right here in what was once the land of the free and the home of the brave. Well, now certainly Mr. Simon was concerned about this massive bureaucracy and this central planning, wasn't he? Joe?
Hello?
Yes, I was just saying that Mr. Simon was very, very concerned about the massive bureaucracy, federal bureaucracy, over which we really have no control. They're not even answerable to Congress.
Yes, absolutely. And that's another one of the fears he had was for the way in which this bureaucracy was expanding and the power that was given to them by Congress, and it was not accountable to anybody, and it was a state within a state, you might say. Now, the other fears he was talking about, again, interesting in terms of the direction we're headed into this Marxist-Socialist community, and we have the elite driving the wagon, if you will, of destruction. That was a major concern of his. He saw that the whole financing of the destruction was coming from our businesses that were the target of the economic destruction, and most of them didn't realize what was happening. He saw the fear that the people, both the middle class and the elite who were doing the driving, often did not understand what was happening, did not understand particularly that economic and political liberty were intertwined and you couldn't have one without the other. And then he was expanding, concerned greatly, and he called it a fear about this expanding bureaucracy, part of the engine of destruction, an invisible government, he said, that is unaccountable and over which there is no oversight. All of these things he was recognizing. It's tremendous. He said that he had this fear that the economic, the business, the financial, the political, the intellectual elite have all been corrupted by the same government welfare. And he stated, naming names, that they are all the elite, these elites are now at the head of the line for government handouts, even though they should know better.
And
he mentioned people like Nelson Rockefeller, David Rockefeller, Walter Wriston, who was the head of Citibank, Pat Patterson, who was the head of Morgan Guaranty, and probably one of the top financial spokesmen in New York City, Felix Rohatan. These are all the people he said were speaking out to further the destruction, printing money, the mindless deficit spending, including and marshaling all the efforts of the top financial people and politicians. And his background as a specialist in bonds and top-level finance could see what was happening, and it gave him a tremendous fear over what was happening to the United States and was the whole reason behind why he wrote the book.
And I think he was really honestly trying to warn the people of what was happening, and he talked about the possibility of a political and economic collapse. Well, of course, now we're almost 30 years down the line, and people say, well, it hasn't happened, why are you worried? And yet, of course, as we see the collapse of the housing bubble, we see the stock market gone mad with no reason at all for why it should be where it is. It's sort of like we're just at the top of the house of cards, but if you don't have a solid foundation, if all you have a lot of cards piled up, you know, stacked one on the other, what happens if one of them gives way? And this is the great fear, as other countries, China has some $1 trillion of foreign exchange, most of it in American dollars. And what would happen if China was to start dumping the dollars, or other countries were to start dumping the dollars, because America is having to borrow close to $3.5 billion every day to pay our bills. I mean, we're that far behind. If we raise the taxes, we destroy the economy. If we raise the interest rates, we destroy the economy. And of course, they really don't know. I think they've run out of cards back there at the Fed, and I think they're just sort of hoping against hope that maybe somehow it's going to right itself. But I believe the ship of state is listing strongly to one side. And I believe that we could see the fulfillment of William Simon's prophecy about the destruction of our economic and political structure.
You know, it's interesting, Dr. Stan. He is so concerned about this. He talks and specifies what is happening, and he does it in about 20 or 30 very different ways, yet they all say the same thing. For example, he says, so here we are now with most of our politicians careening more and more towards central planning, and our society ruled by a small band of moral and economic despots, are our universities, our foundations, and who are our media, and who are our bureaucracies. Isn't that beautiful?
But, of course, what makes me think that these really are moral people? That's the thing. I mean, I see an awful lot of people in key positions of government who are not moral, who are immoral, and these people have tremendous power. And our founding fathers feared power in the hands of any man, no matter how moral he was. But when I look and see what's going on, I tremble for my country when I see the immorality of people at high positions of government who consistently lie and use their position and power, to advance their own personal wealth and their own personal agenda. Well, we're talking today about a book that was written 28 years ago. It's A Time for Truth by William Simon, who is a distinguished conservative who dissects the economic and political policies that threaten our liberty. And, of course, he wants to get America back to being a free society. But the question is, are there enough people who really care? You know, you can't enjoy freedom unless you're willing to bear the brunt of trying to support it and making sure it exists. I wonder how many people are really involved in the political process. I wonder how many people spend several hours a day studying and trying to educate others. I wonder how many people would be willing really to fight for America tomorrow. Well, our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas. Pick the story up there, Joe.
Glad to, Dr. Stan. And let me key on this idea of the morality. The one thing that did not come across in, as I read the book was Simon seeing these people as not moral. Indeed, he referred to them as moral people gone astray, more or less. And, of course, this is one of the greatest problems that all of us, I believe, have had in studying the problems our country faces and trying to figure out what is happening, what's going wrong. And that is, it's almost impossible until you've spent years and years of effort to come up with the conclusion that a lot of these people at the top of the government, right beginning in the White House, are not necessarily moral people. And indeed, a lot of them are totally immoral. A lot of them are corrupt. A lot of them are more traitorous than the people we send to jail for selling out state secrets. It's a very hard thing to come to grips with. And again, I think that's the result that this is Simon's, if you will, first immersion in the politics at this highest level, and taking him away from strictly matters of substance and seeing what was happening, and not quite reaching the point yet where he could really see the forces that were behind what is happening, the fact that it was not accidental, not just a fortuitous, but was really, in many cases, a very deliberate plan of operation.
Well, because I would not fault him, because back in 78 when he was writing the book, I really didn't understand how it all fit together. And I was thinking that the enemy was communism, or maybe the enemy was over the internationalists here in the United States. But I didn't understand what bound them together, both communists and the internationalists, and the spiritual forces that energized them. So, you know, I think the book is of tremendous historical significance, and is a reflection of the views of a very, very honest man who really was concerned 28 years ago that America was headed towards doom and destruction.
That's true, but he was certainly right on the right road. He recognized, for example, that here's a wonderful statement he made. He said the ruling political intelligentsia is as stubborn and ruthless as any known in history, with delusions of moral grandeur. Now, he recognizes a great deal of the nature of the problem right there. And he goes on to say they are destroying our economy, our liberty, our country. And they have been financed by the very businesses they are out to destroy.
Well, of course, he was writing this in 1978. Jimmy Carter had been in office for 2 years at that time. And Jimmy Carter, was an obscure peanut farmer who had become somehow governor of Georgia. And he was picked by Zbigniew Brzezinski and David Rockefeller to become the next president of the United States. And I wanted to see him. I think they probably were sort of laughing and wonder if they'd actually be able to get the American people to elect this rather ridiculous individual. I'm sure he meant well, but he certainly wasn't the caliber to lead our country. And any more than I think our current leadership is the caliber to really lead our nation. But, you know, certainly by 1978, things were in pretty bad shape with Jimmy Carter. The economy was getting into real trouble. The interest rates were going up. The production in our country was going down. And I'm sure he was looking and seeing these things and recognizing, you know, the influence that David Rockefeller and this ruling elite had had on what was going on, and that Jimmy Carter was simply the manifestation of the power elite's control of America. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas. We're talking about William Simon's book, A Time for Truth, written 28 years ago, but of great historical significance. So pick the story up there, Joe.
One of the things that Mr. Simon also talked about, which was very interesting, was the manner in which these people who were very intelligent and knew what they were doing could see the destruction that was being wrought by their policies and not change the direction in which they were heading. And not, if you will, turn and recognize their faults. And what I'd like to come back to here is a study that was done back in 1985. It's a delightful study. It was done by a British sociologist, and it really describes the problem, I think, even better than Simon does, but uses all of the same words and thoughts. And her name was Eva Etzion Halve. And what she did is she sort of broke ranks with her profession and turned her microscope in the direction of her colleagues. And she actually focused on all the social policies that they had been promoting and trying to understand the effects of these policies. But the key question that she wanted to answer was, if these policies, if these people who were making the social policy knew so much about social change and human nature, why were they wrong so often? Moreover, why had they contributed so little to the betterment of society? A very embarrassing question. Well, she called these people the knowledge elite, by which she meant the Western social science intellectuals. But she had a better name for them also. She called them the prophets who had failed. Not because their advice had been ignored, but rather because it had taken and followed and had failed. And her study showed that the social problems in the years in which they had the greatest influence and their policies had been most pervasive were identically the years in which the policy failures had been most rampant. And then she went on and looked at it, and she said, you know, most important, despite being wrong so often, the intellectual elitists continued to act as though nothing had happened. Excuse me. She explained how they became more adamant than ever about the soundness of their advice, and she explained that to maintain their grants, privileges, positions, and their right to manage society, they could not under any circumstance admit their stunned helplessness in the face of the crises they had not foreseen nor understood. So they looked for excuses, they rationalized evidence, they sought new data that would support their judgment. And this is precisely all the things that Bill Simon is talking about looking at, watching happening, and not being able to understand why these people couldn't see it.
Well, of course, that is the $64,000 question. Are these people stupid? And I really don't think they're stupid at all. I think that they have a different agenda. They have a different worldview. They ultimately have a different goal. And I think, unless we understand what really drives everything going on today, is this desire for a world government and the destruction of Christianity. And of course, you understand that. You understand why we're not trying to enforce our immigration laws, why we have a catch-and-release program. You know, certainly why we're not trying to do anything about the illegals, you know, that are bankrupting our schools and bankrupting our medical system and of course, taking jobs away, driving wage levels down in many communities in the Middle West. There is an agenda behind it. It isn't that these people have a policy that's failed. They have a policy that's working just exactly the way they'd want to, but it is not to the benefit of the United States. It's to their internationalist dream. How would you comment on that?
Well, I think that's absolutely right. And, you know, one of the reasons that it continues to work so well is that people don't realize what Simon understood, which was namely that they couldn't fight this by conventional means. They couldn't fight this using the tools that were being employed against them. You know, if you just elect a good person to office, his point would be, you know, what do they face? They face, you know, a momentum of a tidal wave of egalitarian projects and proposals for increasingly authoritarian controls. It's sort of like we've experienced over the past 6 years. And it's a tidal wave. A person that wants to do right just is overwhelmed by all this pressure to go along with the crowd, the way in which it's been handling things. Not only that, he says that the problem gets worse because the universities, the major universities, are turning out what he called legions of young collectivists. And not only that, but that the media out there serves as a megaphone for anti-capitalist opinions. And he could see why nothing could be done to correct it, or was being done to correct it.
And of course, it's the most amazing thing that all these young people seeing all the inadequacies of our society and that have been brought about by government policy. And what's their solution? Why, more government policy. And it's not until you can begin to point out to them the inconsistency of their views. But, well, I used to get invited up to our local university campus many years ago. But when it turned out that I could explain to these children what was going on and turn them around in 1 hour. 1 hour is all it took to make these kids see the truth. I'm persona non grata at the major university here in Santa Cruz, because the last thing the professors there want is for the young people to learn the truth.
Isn't that the truth?
Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest is Dr. Joe Douglas. We're certainly talking about a book written 28 years ago, A Time for Truth. So go right ahead, Joe. And you were talking, tell us a little bit about this woman who actually was looking at what was going on and was extremely critical of academia.
You know, I've tried to find out where she was because I'd be curious to know what happened to her own career as a result of this book, because she certainly identified the nature of the problem, and she knew what was happening and knew, particularly following her study, that none could acknowledge the truth, because the truth was that the so-called goals were only there to justify the programs whose real design was to destroy the freedoms and liberty of the people and make way for Marxism, socialism, and the ultimate tyranny. So she was it's curious, because when you look at the Time for Truth, and you have to ask, well, okay, what happened as a result of this tremendous insights that were gained here? And this is where a little question arises. The end of the book, he talks about joining Olin Foundation, taking over as the head of the John M. Olin Foundation, which he explains of having the same philosophy on economy and liberty and their interconnection and the need to strengthen the traditional values. And because of this, he decided to really take over the Olin Foundation, where he could really spend the money to build up a fighting cadre that could work to change America back. Because he said, really, that we can't fight this in the normal way. There are people out there, but they have no money, no publicity, no access to the mass media. And how do we initiate a debate? One of the very astute things he came up with is a problem. He says that the big problem, as he saw it, is we have no guiding principles. We operate from basically a base of pragmatism. As he said, particularly says, there are no principles governing the decision-making process. America is floundering for lack of principles, and they're guided only by pragmatism, which he describes as unprincipled actions. So you have plunder, bribery, and corruption for short-term gain by the elite themselves.
Hold that thought. We'll be back in just a moment here. Well, this is Dr. Stan. Our guest today is Dr. Joe Douglas. We're simply talking about what these ideas are put forward by Mr. Simon, who'd been Secretary of the Treasury for 4 or 5 years. Now, our telephone number is 1-888-24-LIBERTY. That's 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295, if you'd like to give us a call. 1-888-24-LIBERTY or 464-8295. And simply remember that socialism is a sincere, benevolent, idealistic theory, but it doesn't work. Somebody's got to be in control. And that's, of course, why socialism always leads to tyranny. You can talk all you want to about democratic socialism. They'll give you two political parties like we have in America, both essentially going exactly the same direction. And if anybody thinks that we're going to pull out of Iraq, pull all of our troops out of Iraq now that the Democrats are, in power in Washington, D.C., why, we have an excellent bridge we'd like to perhaps interest you in buying. Because the truth of the matter is that the leaders of both political parties are globalists. The leaders of both political parties realize, of course, the importance of the war in the Middle East to distract us from what's going on here at home. And as our boys are sent overseas, brave young men and women, to fight for what they believe in over there, for what they've been told is true, the reality is we are losing our freedom here at home. We're invaded. People are coming into our country literally by the millions every year, and we're between 20 and 30 million people illegally in this country today, being encouraged by our current administration. And of course, one of the major goals of the Bush administration is amnesty. They say they're not in favor of amnesty. All they want is for people to be able to stay and become citizens, And, of course, this is going to have a profound impact, and before long, if this legislation goes through as planned, there'll be another 100 million people here in America and the country you and I grew up in will cease to exist. Well, our telephone number again, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, 1-888-24-LIBERTY, or 464-8295 if you have a question for Dr. Joe Douglas. And Joe, do you have a telephone number or website that you'd like to get out?
Not at this present time, Dr. Stan. We'll probably do a website and start one in the next year, but I've been too busy doing other things to get around to that.
All right, before we actually have Dr. Douglas's book, we carry it in called Betrayed, and it's a wonderful book going into the men we abandoned in Vietnam. It's a heartbreaking story, but let's perhaps get you back on sometime for that. Right now, let's stick with A Time for Truth by William Simon. And certainly there were other people. There was Hayek and Milton Friedman and a few others who saw what was happening and joined William Simon in trying to get the information out. But William Simon actually talks about the two-party system. And he saw really essentially, now he's writing in 1978, he saw essentially no difference between the two parties. It was just that the Democrats wanted to get to socialism faster than the Republicans.
This is true. He saw them both suffering from the same problem, and that's why he said basically that you could not fight this by conventional means, which he meant by joining the Republican Party and working to get people in Congress. He says the momentum is just too great to fight by conventional means. And he recognized that there were people out there who understood what was happening, but as he put it, no, they're just too few. They're too overwhelmed by the majority, and all the universities were doing for the most part was turning out more collectivists. The foundations were funding everybody. The U.S. businesses were funding all the opposition, and including the mass media. So the people who wanted to do something were basically unable to. There are no sponsors of intellectuals who fight for the free enterprise system. They have no money, no publicity, no access to the mass media.
And boy, I'll tell you, that's true. You know, for those of us who are on the front lines of this battle with, you know, trying to reach people through buying time on radio stations, it's a long, slow process and really very, very subject to the whims of the economy. And when the economy turns down, of course, why we have to think about retrenching, which we hate to do because right now we do have a fairly good outreach. But so I think it's so important that people understand that all of the wealth, and we're talking about the wealth of the Rockefellers and the Mellons and the DuPonts and the Whitneys and the Bushes, and it's all on the other side, all towards ever bigger government and more regulation. Oh, they pay lip service to individual freedom, but it's really only lip service, isn't it, Joe?
Oh, yes, and that's the thing that Dr. Stan points out, and that's, of course, where the deception comes in. The enemy fights by always justifying everything in the name of liberty, freedom, mother pie, and motherhood, and apple pie, and baseball. I mean, that's the whole thing is orchestrated by a tremendous, effective deception operation, which most people aren't aware of. One of the greatest illustrations of this was as communism was described to me by Jan Sena, who knew it very well from the inside.
Now, could you explain to our listeners who Sena was, because yes, he's such an important character.
He's terrifically important. He was the only decision-making individual, or the only member of the decision-making hierarchy ever to defect. He came from Czechoslovakia, was a top official in the Czech system. He knew all the communist officials around the world and was interacted with them both in the business sense and in a social sense. He knew how the system operated, and he had a fantastic memory. And one of the things that he told me, we were speaking, he said, you know, Joe, you don't understand communism over here because people don't understand deception. And communism is 95% deception. You know, we didn't have one talk that I could think of over a 15, 20-year period. Any subject, there was always 30% of the discussion focused on deception. Because you could not talk about a political decision without talking about the deception plan to facilitate the action. And so it was just part of their system ingrained, and we never understood that in the West. And people in the decision-making capability, still don't understand it. They just speak as though the Russians were the same as we are, and that's not the case. But what was most interesting about that is, who is the target of the deception? Is the target the people? Well, yes, but to a less extent. The major target of the deception was the intellectuals in the West, because those are the people that they wanted to influence to sell the Soviet policies, the Russian policies, to the people, to the government, to the elite, who could make it all happen. So they knew right where to put the pressure, and they knew right where the people were most susceptible, and that was the intellectual elite. It was precisely the same elite that Steinman focused upon when he said the ruling political intelligentsia is as strong, stubborn, and as ruthless as any known in history, with delusions of moral grandeur. And then you couple that with that sociologist's recognition that it was irrelevant what the results were, because the goals were not really the stated goals. Again, a part of the deception. So there's a tremendous spider's web of deception and goals, and where is the truth, where isn't the truth? What is deception, what is false? This is what makes the problem so difficult. And how do you oppose something when everything is justified by the best thing in the name of the people? Yes. Everything being geared to help the people. But when you really look at it carefully, as he did, he saw the poor weren't benefiting, the people weren't benefiting, it was the elite, the heads of the top businesses with their hands out because they had made bad decisions on loans and they wanted the banks to come, the government to come in and cover their losses. This was the problem that was being faced.
And of course he ought to know, because he was on the inside of this whole thing for many years, wasn't he?
That's right, and that's why it's so important. He knew the business, he was working, and he knew the substance, the finances excellently, and was working right at the top of the government.
Well, you know, I think one of the hardest things for the average American to believe is that there is a plan to move us towards a two-tiered society. A small, very, very wealthy group, then a massive bureaucracy. And, of course, if you work for the government, you've got it made. I mean, you've got a great pension, disability, health care. You get a salary that's much larger than if you were outside of government. And then you got to have a massive army to keep the people in line, a massive police force to keep the people in line. And then, of course, you're going to have a lot of very impoverished people. And I fear that with the coming economic chaos, as the housing bubble collapses, as jobs increase moving overseas, as they bring in both legal and illegal immigrants to take the jobs of the people here and drive the wage level down, I fear that many of the people who think they're going to have a comfortable retirement or you know, be able to just live comfortably are in for a big shock, because I don't think the average American has much of any savings to keep him going if things really begin to implode.
Oh my goodness, we've had a negative savings rate for at least 5 years, as I recall. The savings of people in general is depleted, or the savings is really in the increase in value in their homes. And if the real estate market tanks, that tanks along with it.
And I think that it's just really sort of churning now, but everything points out to the fact we're going to see in America, what we saw in Japan back there in 91 and 92, and we've seen it here before, but never to the degree I think we're going to see it now, is fewer and fewer people are going to be able to keep up the payments on their homes.
Yeah.
And I wonder how many people really own their homes outright today. I think the vast majority of people have a loan on it, and that's where you get into trouble.
Yeah.
You've got to have enough money to service that loan, and if you've actually refinanced and, of course, your payments are up, you could be in real trouble.
One of the curious things about this, the book, Dr. Stan, is where in the end Simon talks about becoming president of the Olin Foundation. And what struck me about that is that's interesting, because about 4 years ago, there was an announcement that the Olin Foundation was closing its doors and going out of business. So I wondered, well, what has happened? Why is this? Here we have the only foundation that evidently has a number of millions behind it, and it's going out of business after being taken over in about 1978 by William Simon, who had a terrifically good reputation, was a top financial expert, knew business people all around the world, and now the foundation that he went into to really help fight this problem is going out of business. I sort of asked myself, well, what's happening?
What was happening?
Well, that's a big question. I'm not sure, but let me just throw a few things out. There was a couple reports on the internet just talking about the Olin Foundation, and when I looked at the way in which the money was being spent, as best I could quickly determine, and this report was dated, let's say, in 2001, when they spent over $20 million, and here it was, the way it was described was to fund right-wing think tanks. And I started looking at the think tanks, and I couldn't see very many that were still right-wing. Most of them were not what I would have called conservative. Just listen to a few of them. AEI, Brookings Institute, CSIS, the CFR.
That's hardly a conservative organization.
The Project for a New American Century.
Oh, my goodness. That's the reason we're in the war in the Middle East.
So what happened? How did this come about? And looking at other things indicated that these were not unusual, that had been going back as early as the 10 years before, at a time when Simon's influence certainly would have been felt. So the question is, well, did he ever get to really understand who was behind the nature of the problem?
Well, I think that, of course, he himself was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations. He may never have understood.
Yes.
I mean, I belonged to a similar so-called conservative group that was formed back in 1980 to counter the Council on Foreign Relations, and it has simply become a cheering section for the CFR, which is why I reluctantly dropped out of it. I'm certainly not going to put my money into something that is going to fund people who want to destroy our way of life.
Right. Now, do you know when Simon joined the CFR?
I know, but I'd been a member of it for many years, so I'm not really sure when. And even if he understood it, I think there are a lot of people in the CFR who really don't understand what it's all about. They enjoy rubbing shoulders with the movers and shakers of the world, but they're all being manipulated.
Well, according to the information I got off the internet, he joined in 1984.
He did, okay.
After the book was written, and after he was on the head of the Olin Foundation, and so he then, I think, came under the influence of all these people that were talking about how good these various organizations were and how they were going to increase the freedom and independence of the United States.
Well, I think that there are a lot of people who really don't understand the CFR. Well, let's go to Mike, who's calling us from Santa Cruz. And, of course, Mike, do you have a question or comment?
Yeah, a question. I wondered if the Oxford Analytica appears in any of these studies or in this discussion anywhere.
The Oxford what?
Oxford Analytica.
This is an organization that most people had never heard of until Rick Warren wrote to Joseph Farrow recently of WorldNet Daily. And Rick Warren told Joe Farrow that Rick Warren really understood a lot more than probably Joe Farrow did, because he was a member of the Council on Foreign Relations and the Oxford Analytica. And of course, then we looked this up, and it's a group of about 1,000 Oxford dons who have an international intelligence organization and tie into the Rockefellers, the CFR, the Citibank, and all the usual suspects. It sounds just like almost like the list you were just reading.
That's interesting. No, that's never appeared in any of my readings. It certainly isn't in the Simon book.
But I think, Mike, that maybe more and more people will look into it. Anyway, it's up on the internet. It's called the Oxford Analytica, and we can feel much more comfortable knowing that Rick Warren, America's pastor, is a member of the Oxford Analytica and of the Council on Foreign Relations. Thanks so much, Mike.
Mm-hmm.
Bye-bye. Okay. So, anyway, of course, we've got real problems in America today. How are we going to get people to really be concerned? You know, we have it so good. We've got the most affluent society. We've got the greatest entertainment in the world. We've got professional football. We have, you know, most people, certainly maybe overextended, but they think it's all going to be all right, and sooner or later everything will come back, or the value of their real estate will come back, and they can live happily ever after and then fade into the sunset with a great pension. How are we going to make them understand that freedom is not free? And if enough people don't care enough to be involved, then its freedom is going to be lost.
Yeah, especially when you have the top executive in the country who wants to put the money in strengthening the U.S. educational system from the federal on down, which just exacerbates the problem, and who wants to grant amnesty to all illegal aliens and then break down the borders completely between Mexico and other countries in the United States.
People can't understand what this means. This means the end of sovereignty. It means the end of our Constitution. And people will have the same prosperity that exists in Mexico and the same high moral standards among our police that exists in Mexico and other Central American countries. I mean, are people really willing to forgo the freedom that our forefathers fought for? Or do they honestly believe that they're going to have it forever? Remember what Thomas Paine said, tyranny like hell is not easily conquered. Tyranny like hell is not easily conquered, and we're moving towards tyranny in America today.
If there ever were a more descriptive way of talking about it.
Well, Joe, you got 3 minutes to wrap up the program.
Well, I come back to the problem of what do we do, Dr. Stans. It's a question we all ask ourselves hourly, on a daily basis, it seems. The whole problem seems to me that is best described by the old story of how do you boil a frog? Well, you put him in the pocket of the kettle of cold water and then turn the fire on under the water. And that's what's happening. And when Simon talked about the people, and even the elite for the most part, not understanding what was happening and what they were doing, that's the nub of the problem. They don't understand. And they're not going to get told by the media or by the education system, because those are all under control of the big money that are behind the destruction. So it poses a real great problem, and it puts a burden on all of our shoulders to start learning what is happening, and particularly to listen to the very unusual programs, of which yours is right up the top of the list, no question about that, to start understanding what is happening and talking to other people about it. You have to learn enough so that you can counteract all the false publicity, the tremendous organized deception against our waking up and learning what's happening. So you have to learn it good enough to stand up to that deception.
Well, Chris, many years ago, we put together a 10-point program, and the first point was have a personal relationship with our Lord Jesus Christ. The second point was learn about America's way of life, learn the fundamentals of why America was different, understand the Declaration of Independence, the Constitution, the Bill of Rights, the Federalist Papers, learn about America, because if you don't know what you believe in, how are you going to be able to preserve it? And then from there, why you can start learning about all these other organizations and of course the spiritual battle that's going on. But you know, one of the things I think is most important, I don't think most people understand what freedom is all about. They honestly think that you can be free because the government's going to provide all these things for you, without understanding that liberty and limited government are synonymous, and tyranny and total government are synonymous, and we're moving rapidly towards total government and tyranny. Our guest has been Dr. Joe Douglas. Joe, thank you so very much for being with us. It's really always a pleasure to have us here on Radio Liberty.
Oh, it's always a treat to be with you, Dr. Stan. Thank you very much for all the work you're doing.
Well, thank you for all your work. And, of course, if you haven't read Dr. Joe Douglas's excellent book, Betrayed, why it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927, 1-800-544-8927. You owe it to the men who've been abandoned, at least to understand their plight. Bye-bye and God bless.
Good night, Dr. Stan.
Well, this is Dr. Stan back here at Radio Liberty, and of course our guest has been Dr. Joe Douglas, and I hope you've enjoyed it. We do carry his book, Betrayed, The Story of the Men We Left Behind. If you'd like to get a copy, why, it's available by calling 1-800-544-8927. We were able to get about 18 or 19 hardbound copies of Monica Jensen Stevens' excellent book, Kiss the Boys Goodbye. This was such a good book that somebody within the intelligence agencies put pressure on the publisher to withdraw the book, and they just took it off the shelves and wouldn't circulate it. Monica Jensen Stevenson got the copyright back, moved to Canada. It was reprinted up there, and then somebody bought up the publisher and just accidentally shredded 5,000 copies of the book. Now, there's hardly any softbound copies of Kiss the Boys Goodbye out there, but we do have the hardbound copies, and they're available. They are used, but they're in good shape. At least all of those, if you order them now, you'll get a real good copy. They're available by calling 1-800-544-8927. I think it's $21.95. And then, of course, we hope that you'll get with that the four-tape set, The Men We Left Behind. The Men We Left Behind is the story of the men we abandoned. And, of course, you get the four-tape set with a good reduction. You get the two of them together for, I think, $34.95, as I remember. So you can get the four-tape set and the book for $34.95. We have the same thing offer as far as the Monica's other book, Spite House. To silence that one, they got a lawsuit against her and got all the copies recalled. But it is available in softback, and I think there's $6.95 we're charging for them. And you can get that and, of course, the four-tape set for $24.95. Give us a call at 1-800-544-8927. Spite House is the story of the one prisoner of war who got back and how they set out to destroy him. Why? Because he survived. He lived, and he came back to tell all the story of all the other men we left behind. So we have the Spite House special. We have the Kiss the Boys Goodbye special. And then, of course, we have Dr. Joe Douglas's excellent book, and we have a great deal of other information on the men we abandoned. We have a Vietnam special, which we think is important. You can't understand Iraq unless you understand Vietnam. We didn't try to win in Vietnam. We could have won in Vietnam at any time. I know because I personally talked to the American ambassador to Laos, William H. Sullivan, and to General Lew Walt, four-star Marine general. Both of them told me we could have won the war in 2 months, but we never were allowed to try. And if you don't think we could win the war in Iraq, but you see, they've never given enough troops. And of course, who's funding all of the enemy? Who's funding the Shias and the Sunnis and providing all the weapons for them? And who's funding the Taliban up there in Afghanistan? They're being funded by the Pakistanis. And who's funding the Pakistanis? Why, we are, ladies and gentlemen. Oh, my goodness, if we don't fund them, why, of course, Mr. Musharraf, who is allowing the Taliban to be funded with our money, why, he'd be overthrown. So we fund a man who's allowing the Taliban to be funded and then to go into Afghanistan and kill our boys. It's like Vietnam all over again. And if you want to help our boys, get the truth out. Understand Vietnam. Understand that all during the Vietnamese War, we funded the Russians who funded the North Vietnamese. We built the Kama River plant for the Russians so they could provide the trucks that were used to carry the weapons down the Ho Chi Minh Trail to kill American boys. And we lost 58,000 boys over there because of a Gulf of Tonkin incident that never occurred. Understand the history of Vietnam. And then you can begin to understand what's going on and understand that there are powerful spiritual forces that are energizing everything that's going on today. Understand that we're involved in a spiritual war being fought on a political and ideological and cultural battlefield. Our telephone number, 1-800-544-8927. 1-800-544-8927. You need to get my book, Brotherhood of Darkness. You need to get the videos. They sold their souls for rock and roll. Malachi Martin's book, Hostage to the Devil, and then Pray for America. And then please pray for Radio Liberty, for our provision and our protection until Monday. May the Lord be with you.
You're listening to the Global Star Radio Network, located at Telstar 5KU band, frequency 11836, symbol rate 20770. Thank you for listening.
with news on the Information Radio Network, I'm John Russell. Correspondent Tony Whitten reports there has been a peaceful end to a standoff at the Miami Herald.
We've been told by a Sergeant Jackson with the Miami Police Department that after a two-hour standoff, which was described as a disgruntled cartoonist who wanted to see an editor, it's now over. SWAT team members took the man into custody without incident.
Residents of Baghdad's Sadr City say a U.S. helicopter has opened fire on the Shiite enclave after terrorists shot at it from the ground. The bloodstained neighborhood is where bombs and mortars left more than 200 dead yesterday. And today, there are reports of deadly revenge attacks. Police say at least six Sunni Arabs were doused with kerosene and